sovereignty of the soul. As the war machine approaches on the backs of cockroaches, I will not succumb to sickness. I will stay steadfast in my purpose to release my inner demons, come to grips and come to peace with. With every rising up, there comes a fall. Just as the darkness needs a light, the high, the low, the wrong, the right, reconcile the heart and mind, release the beauty that's inside. I'm gonna seize the day. Ain't nothing gonna take my light away. And I will help you if I'm able. I do the best I can to stand strong and be compassionate. I know we'll make it to the end. Don't lose hope, my friend.
Hey good peeps, Pig City and the Global Village, welcome to Whoop It Up with UMFM, our Summer of 23 mini-series spotlight on the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival. They call me Bruce, and I'll be your host. The Whoop and Holler Folk Festival takes place under the Cottonwoods, just outside Portage-la-Prairie, Manitoba, August 26th and 27th. And since 2014, the festival has been a stage for a diverse lineup of headliners, new artists, and buzz bands. Full details online at whoopandholler.com and all socials. Series episodes can be found at umfm.com. UMFM 101.5 is a proud media sponsor. Episode 4, Heartsleeve. Heartsleeve is a bluegrass outfit whose members came from reggae, world, funk, and metal bands. They came together at a Winnipeg Folk Festival jam in 2018 and quickly made a splash on the local music scene with their unique take on the high and lonesome sound that is more fusion than newgrass. The diversity in their musical influences has attracted equally diverse audiences. And their EP, Don't Lose Hope, is streaming on Spotify and iTunes. Experience Heartsleeve online at heartsleevemb.com. Welcome vocalist, banjo player Gareth McNichol Briggs. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fantastic, especially because I know the answer to our first question, the Briggs part of McNichol Briggs. There's a family musical connection that I dearly love. The Fuse, the Six, Hatcher Briggs, the Big Beat. Love them. You know David Briggs very well.
I do. He is my Uncle David to me.
Did he teach you about music? Did you observe it? What did you glean from him? Was any part of that like, I want to be like Uncle Dave?
I think it was more so the space that he had and let the kids have. He used to have parties where David is one of eight. My dad is the oldest of eight kids. And we would have parties with my grandparents all the time when they were alive, like once a month at least, where everyone would get together. We'd have these big parties. And we sometimes we'd have them at David's house, and he had, you know, a whole jam room in the basement and drums and this and that. And I just always loved to go and play on the stuff. And I would see him play piano and guitar, and my dad would have shirts from shows. And it just, you know, it was all very interesting to me. So I didn't get any like one-on-one mentorship with him per se, but just being around the space of musical creation was inspiring enough, I guess.
You got a safe introduction to the world of musical creativity and went with it.
Yes, it was so much different because I took piano lessons as my first instrument for 8 years, and I was terrible. I was terrible at reading music. I was like, I felt abused. I was like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. And so, yeah, it was a totally different thing to just sit and be able to think and create and listen as opposed to recite and perform.
Do you read music?
Not well, very poorly and very slowly.
Okay, so I have to ask. I cannot learn music. I have to learn it scientifically through charts and, and I learn it through reading music. And I've always marveled at those who say, oh, it's a key of A and away you go. How do you learn to play? And most importantly, how do you learn to jam without that book learning, so to speak?
That's a big question, but it's interesting because I've jammed with some friends of mine where I grew up. I ended up growing up in the States and was there for 20 years and came back to Winnipeg later, that are more classically trained. And just to sit and jam with them is a totally different experience. It's almost like if you're trained in that way, and not to say that people aren't, you know, improvisational or creative. They certainly are. But to be trained in that way, you know, it almost sometimes can be like a typewriter and you're smacking off the notes and it's happening. But to be able to really hear and feel something, it's just listening. It's listening and then learning patterns on your instrument and feeling and seeing what your sound is. And like, it's so automatic to me now, not to say I know every scale and every key, but I feel confident picking up a banjo or a guitar or even sitting on drum kit now and jamming along with people because the key is really listening and how can I support the sound, not what do I have to say? It's how do I add to the conversation?
Is that what makes a band great, that it's the understanding that it's a team game?
I think it helps a ton because I've spent all my life in and out of different kinds of bands with different kinds of egos, dealing with my own ego and seeing what worked. And I think that's been a key component for Heartsleeve's survival through the pandemic and even how all of us can be such different musicians but still get along is we all have something interesting to say, but we're all really trying to listen to each other at the same time.
I've got one more band question until we get to the music. Like Hello Fiasco, another H band. I'm not into conspiracies or anything, but I do love coincidences. Another H band, Hello Fiasco. Heartsleeve is, or was, a cross-border band, whether a band of musicians or a band of friends. Introduce us to the band and its history, and how do you make that long-distance relationship work and reconnect when you return?
Okay, it really, I guess you kind of said in the beginning of the episode, it started with me and Matt's chemistry. To be more specific, I was kind of dating someone at the time. It was a bad deal. But this person was very in tune with certain things, and she came up to me at Folk Fest of 2018 with this dead serious look, and she was like, you need to jam with Matt. And I'm kind of like, ugh, I don't like being told what to do, like, whatever. Like, sure. Go away. And then I finally met Matt, and I was just playing banjo, and then came up, introduced himself, said hi, pulled out his bass, and all of a sudden, I was just improvising on banjo. Everything he was playing made sense. We had never played instruments before. I was just playing banjo and watching him, and I was like, what is happening? And it was just this unreal feeling of connection and understanding in a musical and almost spiritual sense. I can't explain it. I've only had it with a couple people I've played music with, but it started there. And then from there, he was in a reggae band formerly, and he's like, come jam with, you know, my old bandmates. And I was a little reticent. I'm kind of shy. I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I showed up, And after a while, they embraced me. And yeah, and that's kind of the history of the chemistry of the band. But then I would go on to say also that it's something that we take easily and we really try to enjoy. And after years and years of being in bands where I feel like I've had something to prove or something to show, and I mean, I still do have those things, but it's not more important than feeling good playing the music, hoping the crowd is feeling good, and really trying to share something positive and inspire people, because I think everyone can play music and everyone should, no matter what their skill level is. So,
amen. You'll never, I play a lot of instruments, but none in public.
Well, for it's for you anyway. It always starts with you. All the Heart Sleep songs started with me at first, and then I was like, oh, people want to hear this. That's cool.
So, no, nobody's ever going to want to hear me.
Well, now I do.
I know you'll be laughing at me, okay?
No, well, just start laughing, and then it'll be with you.
It'll work. Yeah. So, getting to the music, let's begin the begin. It's a real bluegrass mosaic of non-bluegrass genres. There's no Del McCurry high and lonesome vocals. The title track is more bluegrass-tinged reggae than it is reggae-tinged bluegrass. I do hear an awful lot, and that's a good thing, of Bela Fleck influence. I'd have to say it's more too modern and too hip to be called newgrass. How do you describe the art that you do, given the incredible diverse non-bluegrass background of everybody?
Wow. Well, there's many ways to say it. I think the simplest way I like to say it now is we just take folk or bluegrass instruments and do whatever we want, whatever we feel like. We're kind of like, what genre haven't we covered yet? Like Matt is writing a ska song as we speak. I have no idea how we're going to do it with banjo, but we're going to try. So yeah, I would just say, because we all, like, I was a metal screamer for a decade plus. Mike did reggae. Matt has done all kinds of music. We all just come from we have such a different base of backgrounds genre-wise. Like, it couldn't be more different. But then we all grab our instruments and can talk with each other. And so it's just, that's part of the reason why it's so fun. It's because it feels like there's no ceiling. We're like, oh, do we want to do a Pink Floyd song? Oh, do we want to do, I don't know, a Bob Marley song? Like, we can do whatever we want and have a good time.
And those positive vibes radiate from the EP. I mean, it's a ray of sunshine. My Life, Shine Your Crown, Don't Lose Hope, Leave All This Behind, Daydream Rider. They are all forward-looking. You know, there are brighter days ahead. You know, not to mention how happy the band looks in every promo photo.
Except Greg, but yeah.
You know, these are really strange days indeed that we're in. And we look to artists and comedians to lift us. What lifts you into a place where you can create a joyful sound amongst all this negativity?
Wow, that is a good question. This might sound really odd, but it is the negativity that fuels it. I have to be a counterbalance, is just what I feel like. I've spent so much time in my younger years being like severely depressed, like just not in a good place mentally, and the only thing I could ever do is play music and express my feelings, especially with writing, like writing my own songs. And I feel like Leave All This Behind is a good example. Is I start writing a song and I just know I have this feeling inside of me, like this negativity or this ick. I it's hard to describe, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I explore what that feeling is as I write the song in my head. I'm like, okay, what feeling is coming up next? I write the line, write a couple, might cross one out, and I use it as a meditation to explore negativity. And then I always try to steer it. I'm like, okay, what is the lesson? What is the positive outcome? What can I do about this so I don't feel victimized by whatever it is I'm experiencing? And I really just try my best to turn the energy on its head, and I've been trying to do it in a more and more relaxed and even-keeled way. And that's pretty much my whole philosophy behind songwriting. I mean, exploring these these mind spaces and these heart spaces and moving forward and knowing that you're not stuck.
Is there a distinct heart sleeve philosophy, or would you call it happenstance that a group of like-minded, happy, content musicians looking to be optimistic found each other?
I feel like it's a bit of column A and a bit of column B. It, at some points, it feels so natural that it was just like, oh, this was supposed to happen. You know, none of us are putting on masks or wearing faces, right? It just, we all kind of stumbled. I stumbled into Matt and it happens to work. However, it feels like it was, I don't know, guided, or it was supposed to happen this way. Like, why certain things didn't work out to make this work. It does feel like, I don't know, it feels special and like I have to take care of it. And that's what always catches me. I'm like, oh, am I expecting too much from people? What are my expectations? What can I do to make this work as a band? Not like, what can I do to make it big and be the best band ever? I'm like, how can I enjoy my time with these people I create music with and prioritize that?
Well, you can enjoy all of your time at the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival, as we will. Matt's stand-up bass is named Marilyn.
It is.
Do your instruments have names?
Oh, boy. I'm a guitar collector, Bruce, so...
But do they have names?
Well, I collect Jackson guitars, and I have five in the corner, and I call them the Jackson Five. So, I do have names for my banjos, actually. My first banjo, I don't remember. I ended up selling that to a friend. My second banjo was named Teresa. And that was after, it's just a name that came to me. And then I was reading the credits of an album of a Canadian man who inspired me to pick up the banjo in the first place. And it was dedicated to Teresa. And I was like, whoa. So that was Old Man Ludica. He's amazing. Chris Ludica. I saw him play and I said, I want to do that. So there's Teresa. And then I was actually given a gift of a banjo. Somebody gave me one the night. This is going to sound crazy, but the night my girlfriend left me to be with my best friend. So it was this weird switch off. And that was Butterfly. And then I have a really nice Vega Tubaphone banjo that I play now. I use primary heart sleeve banjo. And that one is Daisy Joe.
My daughter is Daisy J.
No way.
There's our happenstance.
Oh, it always happens. Oh, and I have a custom-built baritone banjo named Barry. But yeah, he hasn't seen much daytime. But yeah, well, that's of course that would happen.
Something completely irrelevant, but a ton of fun. Your Facebook banner is Star Trek Voyager. And my daughter, who's named like your banjo, Daisy, she has a cochlear implant. And she had an instant connection and feels represented by Seven of Nine. What's your connection to the show? Are you a Trekker?
I'm not super intense into it. My partner, Emily, she's gone to conventions and dressed up as Data. Like, she is very into it. But that is a big place that we connected on with Star Trek Voyager. I used to watch it with my dad when I was living in the States, and I'd come up and visit every other weekend. We would watch Star Trek Voyager, and it was like our thing that we do together. We just watch a show and then we'd go to bed. And so the show itself, you know, is so beautiful in its lessons and how it explores space. And like, it captures you in a way that, you know, a lot of shows use violence and stuff nowadays, but that show is always, you're learning something, you're exploring, you're offering compassion. And so me and my dad both loved it. So.
Well, let's capture the people before they get out to the festival. What song should we leave them with? You know, something they can expect to hear at the festival.
Well, you're in for a treat, people. We are going to play a song called Waves. This is a song I wrote at my dad's lake cabin. And this is a totally unreleased version. This version probably won't be released except here. This is a demo version we did with our friend Sam a couple years ago. Yeah, so we're going to leave with a song called Waves.
Gareth McNichol Briggs, thank you ever so much for joining us on Whoop It Up with UMFM.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in and supporting independent music, arts, and events. Check out all episodes at umfm.com. All details, tickets, food, directions, artists, everything can be found at whoopinholler.com. Search Whoopinholler on all social media, and please do join us in person August 26th and 27th. Until we meet again, be good, have fun, stay motivated.
Give way to